Gina.
It's good to speak with you as well. I mean, just going through this book, I have so many tabs in it. It's unbelievable. You've got so many really good points in this book about just that, sex again. You know, you may have been in a relationship for a period of time, and now you're trying to maybe rekindle things, or you kind of keep that spark going when a relationship first starts off. Where would you like to start in the book? Because, again, there's just so many good points throughout the whole book.
Well, you know what? I'd like to start with the fact that Americans aren't really having sex. We live in one of the most sexualized cultures there's ever been, if you think about it, with the internet and movies, and we're looking at a lot of sex, and we're apparently thinking about a lot of sex, but Americans are having less sex than ever before. 40 million Americans in adult couple relationships say that they're not having sex at all. A third of women say that they don't particularly enjoy sex, and that's really why I wrote this book. I was having patients come into my center, the Nova Center in New York City, and say that they wanted to want to have sex again and asking me what to do.
Well, Dr. Blakeway, hi, this is Gail.
Hey, Gail.
Listen, you know, a lot of people who, you know, I know people are getting older, they've been in their marriages for a long time or relationships, they start to have children. Do you think it's just, I don't think boredom or just get that routine, you got to take care of this, got to go to work, you got to take care of the kids, and there's no time for the fun stuff anymore?
Well, I think that's part of it, and I'm a working mom too, and so I totally understand. My patients tell me, look, Jill, I'm too tired to have sex. That's the first thing they say. I'm tired. By the time I get the kids to bed and, you know, food on the table, I'm done. I don't think about it at all. Or they tell me, Jill, I'm so stressed. I can't get my head in the game. I start, and then I'm thinking of tomorrow's to-do list and whether I bought stuff for packed lunches, and, you know, I can't focus on sex. Or they tell me, and I think this is actually about a serious problem in some ways, they say, I don't feel sexy. And I think that we get bombarded with very photoshopped, very beautiful images. And a lot of people, women in particular, but also men, feel as if they're not measuring up. You know, my patients talk to me about the jiggly bit under their arms or their cellulite. And they feel like, you know, they don't feel sexy and good about themselves. So I think that those are all genuine problems, but they're all surmountable.
A lot of points in the book you bring about different things to bring back into that relationship when you first started, and perhaps you were head over heels over that person, and now, you know, through time and, like you said, Gail mentioned, different things in life now that have come up, we've forgotten some of the basic things. You talk about kissing, as that you mentioned in the book. If you don't read anything else in this book, don't skip this chapter.
I did. I think kissing is really important, and I think it's one of the first things to go as you get complacent in your relationship. I've had patients tell me, you know, I walk in and I kiss the kids, I kiss the dog, and then I kiss my husband. Well, so in the book, we said, let's bring kissing back. Try and kiss your partner for longer than it takes to sneeze, say. At least once a day, we give different kisses, different, you know, suggestions of different types of kisses. And I think kissing is very important. It sets off emotional and physical reactions in your body. It decreases levels of your stress hormone, cortisol, and it increases levels of the bonding hormone, oxytocin. So chemically speaking, it induces relaxation and builds connection. And that's why people like to kiss a lot at the beginning of their relationship, and then they forget about it. So we're definitely bringing kissing back in this book.
Bringing kissing back, bringing sexy back. The chapter, I love the title of it. It says, you know, bringing kissing back and a lot more. And then the subtitle is The Lost Art of Foreplay. That's true. That's what kissing is. People don't think about that. Do you think women think that more than men? When we're talking about foreplay, women seem to be the ones who want it more than men. Is that still true?
Well, we are people. Women need to get their head in the game. Men can be a little distracted and still enjoy sex, but for us to get real sexual pleasure, we do have to focus. And it takes us a little while to get ourselves warmed up and focused and sort of present. So foreplay is really important for that. But it's actually important for guys too, even though they don't realize it. They don't know that, but I hope that they'll read the book, and they will. I based this book on some 2,000-year-old Taoist texts, which is fun, actually, because sex is the one thing that hasn't changed in 2,000 years. If you think about it, everything else has changed, but people are still having sex the same way they always were. And the ancient Taoists said that that foreplay is what gets the energy moving in the whole body, so that sex becomes a whole body experience rather than, you know, a more focused sort of pelvic experience, and that sexual enjoyment comes from warming up all your, what they would call the meridians. So I think everybody should enjoy some foreplay. I'm aware that if you're busy and a stressed out mom, you may not have a ton of time, but prioritizing it a little bit, I think, is a great idea.
Throughout the book, you mentioned different techniques and to-dos and little examples and things like that. And I love the challenge. One of the challenges you have in there is the partner massage. And your challenge was to have a massage, but have it a non-sexual massage. Good luck with that.
I wanted to give people some exercises that weren't focused on a specific end in sight. I think sex can get very goal orientated, and I wanted people to feel their bodies, feel their sexuality and their sensuality, and more importantly, feel that deep, intimate connection with their partner, which is what carries you through a long, long relationship. I've been married to my husband for many years, and it's the intimacy and the affection that carry you through the years, and that's worth nurturing. And massage is one of the ways you can nurture that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, one thing you said I want to go back to, you talk, again, I'm not trying to harp on foreplay, but it's about the whole sexual experience. You said women have to get their head in the game. And it's true. Women more so are more mental when it comes to a romance and love and sex. And you said, and men can function with, you know, the bills can be due, the, you know, things can be going on, and they can still, you know, get into it, whereas women, we're more, it's more of a head game for us, right?
It is, although a man will tell you that when their head and when their heart is engaged, sex is a much deeper experience to them too. But they are mechanically more capable of being distracted and still having sex. For us, it's a very mental thing. So for us, little love notes, little acts of kindness through the day, little bits of connection are all part of foreplay, I think, for women. And I'd love men to know that, that's all part of making someone feel loved and appreciated and connected. And the more loved and appreciated and connected we feel, the more likely we are to engage ourselves and connect during sex.
We are speaking with Jill Blakeaway. And Jill, the book again is entitled Sex Again, Recharging Your Libido. What would you recommend this book be for?
Well, I am surprised by how young people are when they come into the office and tell me that they're not having sex anymore. I wrote it for couples in long-term relationships. Obviously, older couples find it really useful. I have someone who of 78 doing it at the moment with her husband and really enjoying it. But young couples in their 20s and 30s with kids and busy lives who feel like their sex life is going astray would also get a lot out of this book. And you can find out more about it at sexagainprogram.com, where you can actually take the six-week program online free of charge by signing up for a daily email from me for 6 weeks.
Now, you mentioned a 78-year-old person. Now, it's interesting, you're saying, the one thing we're all doing the same is sex. But with the advent of things like the little blue pill, has that helped a lot of those older people? I think it's great that people are 78 and still having sex.
I think that's great, too. I think it says something about their relationship, and it's very wonderful. I think things like the little blue pill are useful in as much as they help with the mechanical aspects of it, but they don't solve the root problem that people are having, which is lack of connection. And so it's great if Viagra helps you have sex, that's great, but there's work to be done to maintain a sort of deep spiritual, physical, and emotional connection with your partner.
A real intimacy.
Jill
Blakeaway, again, author of Sex Again, Recharging Your Libido. Jill, you want to give that web address again?
Yes, it's www.sexagainprogram.com.
Thank you for joining us today.
Lovely. Thank you so much.